This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different, but I'm asking you, I want to cash in some chips, as it were, and ask you to trust me on this, okay? How many of you have already been to a graduation this year, a commencement? Oh, okay, just a few of you. Well, good. For those of you who missed out, you're about to see one this morning, but I promise you it will be different than anything you've ever seen at a commencement. This is on May 4th this year. I had heard, how many of you know who Rick Warren is? He wrote the Purpose Driven Life book, you know? Okay, some of you are familiar with Rick. He has pastored church up in California for many, many years. And I had heard that he was going to be at Oral Roberts University. He was their commencement speaker this year. And I thought, you know, I need to remember that and write it down and make plans to go to it. And I didn't. And it wasn't until I got an email from ORU a couple of weeks later that I saw, oh yeah, who's the speaker? So I found the video. Now, here's the good part. It is less than 22 minutes. Okay. But I promise you, he's once he gets through thanking the faculty, the staff, and everybody, that which just take a second, he's going to get something that I believe will hit the nail on the head as we start the service with. That's what we're going to do today. And I promise you, the Lord is going to speak to you this morning out of this video of a commencement address at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with Dr. Rick Warren. Now, one little caveat here. I'm going to give you a preview of what's coming up because some of you, I know your background. Some of you, you're going to think, what is he talking about? But that's okay, just stay with me. At the end of this, he's going to tell a story. And it's a story, and he's going to use the analogy of a ticket to heaven. Now, some of you, you grew up in churches where that concept was almost mocked. Oh, I've got my ticket to heaven. I have it here, right here in my pocket, and I can just do whatever I want because it doesn't matter. I've got my ticket to heaven. And I get it. But you need to understand, using that analogy is not wrong and it is not inaccurate. You may feel it's a little incomplete, but that's beside the point. Look at the context when he tells the story. Why would he be saying it this way to the person he's saying it to? Obviously, it is to connect with this person. Okay, so don't just start dismissing it when he starts to think about, you need to have more than one approach in sharing the gospel. Do you know that? It just can't be the same thing for everybody the same way because people are different. What did Paul say in Scripture? I have become all things to all people that by any means I might win them to Christ. Right? Okay, well, I didn't write it, but it's still in Scripture. Here we go.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, would you get on your feet and welcome to this podium, Dr. Rick Warren.
Those of you who are seated in the stadium's seating, I wish you could have seen what I just saw in that moment of worship. As I watched the faces of this year's graduating class, the class of 2024, sing from their hearts to the Lord, all my life you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I was watching their face. They meant it. They meant it. It's an honor to be here. The Board of Trustees, the Board of Directors, President Wilson, the deans, the faculty, administrators, donors, those of you graduating today, your family, your friends, and those of you who are paying for their education. Congratulations. Now, to you guys, the class of 2024 graduates, I say, well done. Well done. Everybody in this room is so proud of you because in spite of many impediments sometimes that other classes didn't have to deal with, like a COVID pandemic and threats of, you know, tornadoes and a lot of other things. You made it. You finished the task. You came to the finish line. So congratulations. Now, since this is May the 4th, I am duty bound to say, May the 4th be with you. May the 4th be with you. You know, as I was sitting here, I was thinking of a experience that I had with Oral Roberts. Personally, I've never shared this publicly. I've shared it with your president, but I've never ever told this publicly to anybody else. But when Oral and Evelyn retired, they moved to Newport Beach, California, which is my area. And Oral would often sneak out and come over to worship at Saddleback, and he would sit on the front row over to my right. I know exactly the chair he would sit in. One of the times we were, Kay and I, my wife and I, were having dinner at Oral and Evelyn's home. Oral was facing some major health issues at that point, and he asked Kay and me to lay hands on him and pray for his healing. And I said, well, I'll do that if you'll pray for me right after that. And so he said, okay, deal. And so Kay and I laid hands on Oral and we prayed for a healing of his health. And then he laid hands on me and on Kay and prayed a blessing on our ministry. After that was over, I had a chance to ask Oral a question that I'd asked another dear friend of mine, John Wimber. I once asked John, when you pray for people being healed, what is the most important thing going through your mind as you're praying for the healing of someone's body? I asked that question of Oral, and interestingly enough, he said the exact same four words that John Wimber had told me probably 5 years earlier. He said this, that people feel loved, that people feel loved. I had another message planned for you today, and there's no such thing as a short, bad commencement speech. But I just decided sitting up here that I'd kind of toss my notes out and talk to you for just a second about why love is the most important thing. Life is all about love. Galatians 5:6 says this, the only thing that counts, listen to this, Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, if you get that, graduates, you'll make it. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. As a pastor, this is my 54th year in ministry, 43 years at Saddleback Church. I have stood at the bedside of maybe thousands of people as they took their last breath. What people say in their final moments is pretty important. They don't mess around. When people are dying in their last words, nobody has ever said, Pastor Rick, bring me my trophies. I want to look at them one more time. Or even bring me my college graduation certificate. I want to look at it one more time. When people are dying and they know their time is short, what they want in the room is not things or trophies or achievement. What they want are the people they love. Eventually, we all eventually figure out that it's all about love. It's all about relationships. I just pray you'll figure it out a whole lot sooner. That it's not about achievement. that it's not about fame, that it's not about fortune, that it's not about all the things that you dream of accomplishing in life. Those are great goals. But Paul says, without love, I am nothing. I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If I have not love, I'm nothing. One day, Jesus is walking down the street, and a guy walks up to him and said, Lord, can you tell me what is the most important commandment? Jesus says, oh, that's really easy. I could summarize the whole Bible in two sentences. All the law and all the prophets, I can summarize it all in two sentences. I'm going to give you cliff notes on the Bible. Here it is. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Oh, and by the way, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's it. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great Christian, will grow a great church, will grow a great company. If you get the five verbs of the great commandment and the great commission, you got it made. You see, you were made by God and you were made for God. And until you figure that out, life's never going to make sense. Now, the Bible says God is love. It doesn't say he has love. It says he is love. Love is the essence of God. It is the nature of God. It's who God is. God is love. The only reason there's any love in the universe is because our Creator is a loving God. If God was not a God of love, there would be no love in the universe. The only reason you have the ability to give love and to receive love is because you are made in God's image, unlike animals. Birds don't love, worms don't love, fish don't love, horses don't love. You were made in the image of God. God is love, and he gave you the ability to love him and to be loved back. He gave you the ability to love others. Now, your first purpose in life is not to love God. Listen to me. It is to let God love you. To let God love you. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. We respond to the love of God. I can't tell you in my lifetime how many people have come up to me and said something like, you know, Rick, I think my problem is I just don't love God enough. And I say, that's not your problem. That's not your problem. Your problem is you don't understand how much he loves you. Because if you understood how much God loves you, you can't help but love him. When you understand and you feel, now you've heard God loves you all your life, but when you finally feel loved by God, unconditionally loved by God, it changes you. Now, God loves you on your good days as much as he loves you on your bad days. God loves you when you feel it. God loves you when you don't feel it. God loves you when you do the right thing. God loves you when you don't do the right thing. Because his love is not based on who you are. It's based on who he is. It's not based on what you do. It's based on what Christ did for you on the cross. With arms outstretched and nail-pierced hands and blood flowing down, Jesus is saying to the people, I love you this much. I love you so much it hurts. I'd rather die than live without you. That's how much Christ loves you. You can't make God stop loving you. You can try. But you will fail because your love is not based on any condition. It's based on God's character. When you get that, it will set you free. So I'm throwing out the other message, and I just want to say this. It's all about love. It's all about love. Nothing can transform your life. If you marry, your marriage can be transformed by it. Your company, your business, your ministry. The more you dwell in the love of God, the more God's anointing and power will be on your life. Now, if you want God's blessing on your life, and you want his power in your life, and you want his anointing on your life, then you have to care about what God cares about most. He wants his lost children found. So no matter what you do, you're going to be a witness. You're going to be a witness in life. The question is, a good one or a bad one? But it's all about love. I'll tell you a story and I'll close. Many years ago, I sent a couple from our church, Denny and Betsy Cohen, to speak and teach in Peking University. Peking University is the only thing in Beijing still called Peking. It's the Harvard of China. It's 50,000 students. And every communist leader in China, if you're going to be a leader, you go to Peking University. So Denny and Betsy were there, and I said, while you're there, make contact with the highest levels of government because I want to have ministry in China. They happened to meet Mr. Deng, who is the director of religious affairs. Code word, that's the guy in charge of persecution. And they asked him one day, said, would you like to go visit Saddleback Church? And he goes, yeah, sure. So we sent an invitation. 18 members of the Communist Politburo came to California. I served them a barbecue in my backyard. I cooked them ribs. We didn't tell the government. I didn't tell our church. Certainly didn't tell the media. But 18 members came and sat through a Saddleback service. And after it was over, I wasn't even preaching that week. My youth pastor, Doug Fields, was preaching. He was doing a message on Christian parenting. And after it was over, I asked Mr. Deng, what'd you think of the sermon? He goes, wow, I actually got something out of this. He said, I'm a dad, I've got two kids. He said, I actually learned something. He said, if this is your brand of Christianity, he said, you'll be welcome in China. About 2 months later, I got a letter, and it said, we're going to give you what we've only given to one other person, to Billy Graham, who was my mentor for 42 years. I met him when I was 18. He mentored me for 42 years. He said, we're giving you carte blanche in China. You can come in, you can bring your books in, they can be sold above ground, whatever. So that started a long relationship in China. I had two state dinners in my honor in People's Hall in Tiananmen Square, debating the communist leaders. On one of those trips, they have a study for the Center for the Study of Christianity in Peking University. Now, none of the professors are Christians, but they study us like lab rats. You know, why are there so many Christians in the world? And they said, hey, Warren's in town. Would you come over and dialogue with us? I said, sure. So I take my team over, and we met with four professors from Peking University. And we had a nice conversation for 2 or 3 hours. Sitting over here in the corner was an older gentleman, a Professor Joe, who is the provost of Peking University. At the end of that message, our time together, I said, look, you guys, I love Chinese food. And you probably know the best place in Peking or Beijing. So you take us there and I'm buying. So we did. So we all go out to dinner, very nice restaurant. Sitting next to me at the table is the provost of the Harvard of China. And as we're talking, I discover that he's dying of a brain tumor. I'm thinking, this is an opportunity to show love. And so I just start pouring on the love of God. I told him, you know, Professor Joe, my father is actually dying right now of cancer. But he's not afraid to die. He's known the Lord all of his life. He's been a friend of Jesus Christ. He's been in ministry for over 50 years. He's not afraid to die. He's made his peace with his maker. And I just started talking about Professor Joe, about how much God loved him. Before he even knew who God was, that God had never, there'd never been a moment in his life when God didn't love him. And I began to tell him a story about a friend of mine, pastor in Texas, who took his son to the carnival, and he bought a roll of tickets so that he could ride the free rides, and he let his son bring his three best friends. So at every ride, he'd give his son a ticket, and he'd give his three best friends a ticket. He'd go to the next ride, give his son a ticket, give his three best friends a ticket. Next ride, three to his best friends and one to the son. On the fourth ride, he looks down, and there's a fourth little hand sticking out for a ticket. And my friend said, "Who are you?" And the little boy said, "I'm your son's new friend." "And your son told me that if I was his friend, his father would give me a ticket." He said, "Do you think I gave that kid a ticket?" "Of course I did. He was with us the rest of the day. He got to ride everything for free in the carnival." I said, "Professor Joe, your heavenly father has a ticket for you because he loves you, and he sent his son to die for you. And Christ's love on the cross shows how much he loves you. And it's a ticket to heaven. Now, you can't buy this ticket. You can't earn this ticket. You can't be good enough to get this ticket. The only way you get this ticket to heaven is by being a friend of his son." And I looked over, and tears are coming down both of his cheeks. The provost of the Harvard of China. And he says to me in broken English, I would like one of those tickets." Now, the Chinese people as a culture are incredibly polite. I didn't want to push him at this moment, but I wasn't going to put on the brake either. So I said, "Let's do this. Why don't we just finish our meal together? And if at the end of this meal, you still want a ticket that your heavenly father has for you, I would be happy to introduce you to Jesus Christ. I've walked with him almost all my life. I know him as my best friend. I would be happy to introduce you to Christ." So we finished the meal. And as we finished, we talked about all kinds of other things during the meal. And as we finished the meal, he looks at me and again says, I would like one of those tickets." So right there in front of his four atheist faculty members, we all joined hands together, and I led him in a simple sinner's salvation prayer. And when we finished, I looked up, he was sobbing. And I go, "Yeah, he got it. Now, the next morning, I was speaking in the most famous church in China. It's called the Chongwin Men Church. It's a big church. About 6,000 people attend every week. And the pastor was actually here in America attending seminary. The associate pastor was a young woman, slender woman, hair down to about her waist. The associate pastor maybe was in her early 20s. The front row were all these elders who were literally elders. They were all looked like they were 80. And they're cheering on this young woman pastoring the church while the other pastor's gone. So she introduces me, and as I get up to speak, the back doors of the church open, and in walks Professor Joe. And he walks to the front of the church, and he turns around and says, and of course everybody knew who he was, the provost of the Harvard of China. And he turns around and said, "Today I am publicly proclaiming my faith in Jesus Christ." And the place went crazy. They're shouting, they're cheering, they're dancing, they're weeping, they're doing flips and all kinds of stuff. Friends, that is the power of love. And so the only thing I want you to remember as you leave this graduation, because you won't remember anything else, is this. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. So go into the world and love the least loved people. God bless you.